Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. Your thoughts on the Titans, NFL free agency, the moves that have been made to this point, which we've discussed, we will continue to discuss throughout the show, and what could be coming for the Tennessee Titans. And Joe, until there's an answer, everybody's going to discuss quarterback for the Titans. We mentioned Fields is in New York, Darnold to Seattle. It looks like Rodgers could be going to Pittsburgh. We'll see what that ends up looking like. Russell Wilson's still out there. Kuharsky putting it out there last night. The Titans do not have interest in Russell Wilson, which is good. I'd have to come up with some sort of slogan. It was, you know, the Broncos country, let's ride. Steelers country, let's weld. I'd have to come up with something for the Titans.
Let's honky tonk.
Sure. Why not?
Let's tighten up. We don't have to do it.
Glad we're going to avoid that.
Good. Yeah.
Doesn't look like Russell Wilson's going to come here. So that leaves the question, who is coming at quarterback for the Titans? We threw out Mac Jones yesterday. Andrew threw it out that Zach Wilson and Mac Jones were two names that he was hearing the Titans could be interested in. Wilson ends up elsewhere. Mac Jones is still out there. Mac Jones has not signed anywhere, so keep him on the list of possibilities. Jameis Winston is still out there. As a couple texters pointed out yesterday, Gardner Minshew, I guess, is still out there, so you have to keep that in mind as well. Some people, though, are saying that the Titans and their lack of seemingly interest in the quarterback market here in terms of Darnold, in terms of Rodgers, all of those things, Joe, indicate that they've made their decision on Cam Ward and that they're just going to take Cam Ward at number one overall, and he's going to be the pick. Matter of fact, Stilly will not entertain the idea of anything else now that they've passed on Darnold. It's Cam Ward, and that's what it's going to be for the Tennessee Titans. Do you read it that way as well? Do you think the Titans are leaning towards taking Cam Ward at number one overall? How do you view the way that the quarterback market is shaping out for the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I have to think that it's the most likely outcome is that they're drafting a quarterback. The most likely of that would be Cam Ward. I'm not going to put 100% Cam Ward. I mean, I do think Shedeur Sanders is possible. I think Shedeur Sanders you know, and you could argue with his skill set might fit a little bit more of you know, what Brian Callahan likes. But, yeah, the most likely outcome right now is Cam Ward, Titans quarterback, number one overall pick in 2025. Dismissing anything else as like 0% chance, that's a little extreme, but, you know, some people – are a little extreme and make declarations like the Rams, they want Sam Darnold. And, you know, that turned out to not be true. They wanted Stafford out. They wanted Darnold. You know, it's, you're trying to read tea leaves here, but it's hard for me to, I mean, I can't come up with another good possibility unless Mac Jones is the choice. And it really is like the Titans, well, first of all, or they have an incredibly inflated view of him. Maybe he's going to be the comeback player of the year next year. Maybe he'll be next year's Sam Darnold. Or like it's just basically a fank.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just have one more bad year, be at the top of the draft again, I guess change coaches, and then see what happens.
Well, I'm looking at the FanDuel odds. Cam Ward is the overwhelming favorite to be picked number one overall. He's minus 320. Abdul Carter is the next highest odds at plus 210. So Cam Ward is the favorite to be the number one overall pick. And at the moment, the team that's the favorite to draft number one overall is the Titans, who hold the number one overall pick. Now, it's minus 155, so it's not like it's some overwhelming odds that they have. The Giants are at plus 135, which is going to be interesting. Like, if the Giants strike out on Rodgers, do they just turn to Russell Wilson and are cool with it? Or is that going to make the Giants hyper-aggressive to go up to try to get Cam Ward? If you're the Titans and you love Cam Ward, then to me it probably wouldn't matter how hyper-aggressive the Giants are. Like, to me this comes down to how much do the Titans like Cam Ward. If they really like Cam Ward, then you take Cam Ward at number one overall. If you don't, then you're hoping like mad that Aaron Rodgers signs with Pittsburgh, and that puts the Giants in a bind, and they try like mad to move up and get him at number one overall. That's kind of where things stand right now. It kind of feels to me like it's going to be the Titans who draft Cam Ward, or it's going to be the Giants who draft Cam Ward.
That makes sense. So in the meantime, the Titans are going to do something in free agency. Is it possible that you do something in free agency that could be A or B? In other words, I mean, Mac Jones. So if the Giants have an offer that's so absurd you can't possibly decline it, and you say, okay, then Cleveland's going to take Shedeur Sanders, and we're going to take, I say, Travis Hunter, but Abdul-Carr, one of those two guys at yep. three, and we'll get more picks, and let's hope Mac Jones can be a good starter. But if it doesn't knock our socks off, we have him as a backup to Cam Ward, our quarterback. Is it an either-or situation? Could it be? Could you view it that way? Could you frame it that way?
I think you could. I mean, here's what I would say. If the Titans' plan is to draft Cam Ward, I'm cool with that. I don't want Will Levis as the backup quarterback to Cam Ward. I think you need somebody with a little bit more experience. And I talked about this at the beginning of the offseason. I also think you need somebody that could come in and you're not worried to death about them turning the football over all the time as right. the backup quarterback. Now, that does not jive with Jameis Winston either, right? Like, you'd be worried about Jameis Winston coming in and turning the football over all the time if he was your backup quarterback. So, like, is Mac Jones that guy? Like, has Mac Jones been around long enough for you to be comfortable about him being the quote-unquote veteran in the room? I mean, I think that would depend on who you ask, right? Like, he has played a significant amount of football in the league. He's not been around that long. So do you want, like, an older guy? Like, do you want Gardner Minshew to come in and to be your veteran quarterback behind Cam Ward?
Yeah, even with Minshew, it's like, I mean, he first of all, it just did not go well for him. I feel like he's getting worse. And also, he runs around and does weird stuff too, you know? Like, I mean, Mac Jones is probably safe enough, I guess. And really, if you're Mac Jones, obviously all these guys want another chance to start. You know, it's one of those things where let's say it was Mac Jones and Cam Ward, you know, early in the season, maybe Mac Jones starts. But he probably – I mean, the reality for him in this league is he needs to embrace that he's probably going to be a QB2 for many years in this league. So be a QB2.
Yeah.
So he could be one here. I think it was Mike Herndon who threw this out there. You could throw a little Marcus back in town.
I saw
that. You could go with Marcus.
I saw that.
A lot less picks than Jameis.
He does.
Go with one of the top two picks from 10 years ago.
I mean, here are the quarterbacks.
Brissett, that we've mentioned, Brissett.
That are in that kind of backup mold that are still out there. I mean, Daniel Jones, we'll see what happens with him. Jameis, Gardner Minshew, Marcus Mariota. Then you get into like the Drew Locks and the Carson Wentzes. You could bring back Mason Rudolph, I suppose. You know, one that I don't think I would mind seeing. Like, I wouldn't mind drafting Cam Ward and then bringing in Jacoby Brissett to be the backup.
No, Brissett is absolute quintessential backup who can start in a pinch for you and can mentor a young quarterback and all that stuff. Jimmy G. Now, did you see how much he got from the Rams, by the way?
What was that number?
A whopping
$4.5 million.
$4.5 million for a year from the Rams. I mean, we talked about him. We threw his name out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it wasn't long ago at all that he was still seen as a viable starter in the league. So, but yeah, I think Brissett, again, I think Dobbs could have been a decent option in that way. I don't hate Mariota. What a nice story it would be. Wouldn't that be nice?
Just move it. Hey, Will. Give me back that number 8.
Yeah, that's right. The real number 8 is back.
Number 8.
The real 8 is back.
615-737-1025, our phone number. What are the Titans going to do at quarterback? Has the way that this is all kind of shaken out here with the veteran market evidence to you that the Titans are drafting Cam Ward at number one. We'll get into that more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on NFL free agency, the Titans, and the quarterback position, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, a guy that we have spent some time talking about as a potential target for the Titans in free agency, Javon Holland, formerly of the Dolphins, at the safety position, has a new deal. It is with the New York Giants. The Giants, according to Ian Rappaport, have signed him to a 3-year deal, $45.3 million. It can get up to 46.8, and the real number, $30.3 million guaranteed for Javon Holland. So take a safety target, potentially, off the board for the Titans.
Yep. I feel like that was a worthwhile pursuit and a real pursuit, and you're not going to get everybody. And, again, it's – you know, the Titans, when you're a team like this, sometimes it's tough. Now, granted, picking the Giants is also – You're not ring chasing in 2025 there either. But
maybe he thinks Russ is going to come in there and be great.
So Rodgers we think is going to the Steelers.
That's the way it looks. Florio said there could be a deal in place today. We'll see.
So the Giants going Russ. So the Steelers guys could just fan out to the two New York teams next year.
They could.
If the Giants get Russ, is that enough for them to lose their appetite to move up to one?
I would not lose my appetite to move up to one.
I wouldn't either. But, is Russ – yeah, and obviously you ask him, and he's like, no, I'm a top starter in this league. But is he a mentor, caretaker guy that you want for a rookie?
All I know about – look – he seems like a nice enough guy. The birthday party stuff aside in Denver where apparently just his teammates didn't show up to his birthday party. Big deal up there. But he's now gone from Seattle. It did not end great there between him and the organization and some of his teammates, by the way.
Right.
Denver looked like – and I know the Denver was mostly on the field, although the last year he played quarterback on the field in Denver, it wasn't that bad. He actually played okay. They were ready to get rid of him. I understand he made an astronomical amount of money, so you have to factor that in. Pittsburgh, he came in, he made the playoffs, and they're already wanting to push him out the door. So what is it about him that has, no staying power where he is? Now, he was in Seattle for a long time. I understand that. But again, I don't know that he's the most popular teammate. There's all that weird stuff in Denver about how him, I want my own office up here. It's what are you talking about? Just go be a quarterback.
Well, yeah, Marshawn Lynch talked about you had to schedule an appointment to talk to the guy and stuff like that. Now, again, that's when he's they win a Super Bowl and when he's on his rookie deal and all that stuff. I mean, I assume he's been humbled a little bit here. But, yeah, it doesn't seem like he's the most beloved guy in a particular team at any given point. So, Texture says Russell Wilson would be – major upgrade to what they have now.
About the Giants?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's a really long text. Maybe talking about the Giants. It's fair. That's fine for both teams. I think Russ is just – he had that run with the Steelers, and it was it looked better when he replaced Fields, and because I was skeptical when they did that. And then it just – then all of a sudden the turnovers – yeah, really, we're bad, in some of those games. So, I don't know. How old is Russ now? Russ is, he came into the league in, 12 draft?
He's 36.
Yeah.
He'll be 37 in November.
Yeah, and a lot of his, when he was at his best, it was just the off-schedule running around making ridiculous plays. And that stuff like that. If that's a big part of your game, you figure that the clock ticks a little louder when you get to the late 30s.
Cam on the text line. No confirmation if it's Cam Ward or not. Says to me, it's really clear. One of two things are happening. Cam Ward, no matter what, Titans take their shot at a franchise quarterback, or number two, Borgonzi is playing chess with Joe Schoen to get a overpay, and the board is starting to tilt in Borgonzi's favor.
Yeah, I've said this a lot of times, but I mean, I think, you know, when it comes down to it, sure. I mean, if they think the Titans are really going to take him, then, you know, then that's more incentive for them to offer more. But when it comes down to it, it really is what the Giants think of Cam Ward, yep. Right? I mean, it really is. It comes down to the Giants' belief and desperation to have him, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, of course, if they don't think that – if they somehow feel confident, okay, well, their Titans are out on him, and they can't now. And then also, like, yep, the Browns are whatever. Browns are big on Shadur. Browns are going to go, you know, Abdul Carter, whatever it is. Then you could just stay there and hope you get your guy. But, I mean, to me, if you really want him, I think you're gonna do what it takes to move up two spots.
I got one
or
texter.
You're going to try, and then maybe the Titans are like, no, actually, we're taking him.
Got one texter that says, bring Marcus back to Tennessee. Can't be any worse than what we got. Like, are you talking as a starting quarterback? Bringing Marcus back as the starting quarterback? If you want to see me drop a 12-pound bowling ball on my foot repeatedly, do that. Go bring Marcus Mariota back as the starting quarterback.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago. He had that nice opportunity. Well, that 2 years ago, right, Atlanta? He had a heck of a start.
He wasn't very good.
Early in the season, he had some very nice wins.
He did.
Very good performances. Faded on him a little bit. Yeah, no. I mean, in all seriousness, of course not. But
And even on the backup front, like, I'm with everybody that says it's not a bad idea in terms of, like, he would be a great mentor. He would be, you know, he's been around for a while. He would help the young guy. I don't know that Marcus Mariota is going to have any interest in coming back here to be a backup quarterback. That's just me, my general read on it. I could be wrong about that, but, like, the place where you were drafted number two overall and it didn't work out, like, you coming back to be the backup, probably not.
Right. Like, how, you know, like, certainly that's the case with Tannehill because, like, Tannehill kind of got hosed. Marcus, they gave him the full opportunity. But, yeah, how often do you ever see that when someone would come back around if it doesn't work out, you know? And even though it's, like, different front office, different coaches, it's still just weird.
Right? I think he's actually a pretty good fit for where he was in Washington.
I do, too.
As a backup quarterback.
I do, too. No, I do, too. And I think he was a good fit. Like, he's a good fit. You know, for like Jalen Hurts, like, you know, like offenses that do a lot of QB run stuff, Marcus can still do that.
He can. Get the tush push. Did he learn how to do that in Philly?
I don't know. I mean, we hope it gets banned, right? Isn't that isn't that this show's official stance?
That's
ban the tush push?
The official stance of this program.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the quarterback market. What are the Titans going to do at quarterback? And is it as simple as Cam Ward is going to be the next quarterback of the Tennessee Titans? We'll have more on that coming up. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 7:45. And we'll continue to keep you updated on the latest in NFL free agency as well. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join 102.5, 106.3 The Game for an SEC watch party as we broadcast live from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Mellow Mushroom on Broadway tomorrow. Assembly Food Hall on Thursday, and the Pub in the Gulch on Friday. On-site coverage of the SEC Tournament brought to you by Toyota, Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle and ATV. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events.
Hey, got a suggestion on the YouTube chat.
Okay.
Top Tier says, tighten up. Let's not cry about signings before they even get on the field. It's completely unproductive. That's a good point. The Titans have signed Mac Jones to be their quarterback. I have no comment. I will comment after the first game. I have no opinion on this. What else should we do with the show?
Yeah.
What else can we do?
It'd be great, great content. People will be lining up for that one.
No takes at all on any of these things. They may be great.
Guys,
they may be bad.
We'll have to wait and see. We'll just wait and see how it all plays out.
Well, our next show will be the Monday after the first game.
Yeah. That'll be good. Yeah, it's not gonna happen. This is part of what makes the NFL great. Part of what makes sports great is you can talk about the sports that you love all year round. And the NFL, to their credit, has mastered the ability to do that. Whether it's the combine that people somehow still get excited for, free agency, the draft. Not too long from now, we'll have OTAs, training camp coming up. I mean, it's a year-round thing with this league.
Yeah. So some of it's good. Like free agency, there's actual players being signed. The draft is great. The combine sucks. OTAs suck. Minicamp sucks. Training camp sucks. And then there's games, which are the greatest.
Yes.
So, but we'll talk about all of it.
Yeah, like I also understand, like, if you're a Titans fan sitting here today, it has been an absolute tire fire for the past couple of years around here from the standpoint of the on-field product combined with your owner firing people all the time, and you're looking to see, all right, when does the upswing start to happen? Like, when are you getting back into playing relevant football, and can you get significantly closer to doing that this offseason? So when you go out yesterday, Joe, and you sign a left tackle, it's not hard to talk yourself into if you're a Titans fan. Okay, well, you signed a left tackle. You've immediately upgraded the right side of things with J.C. Latham over Nicholas Petit-Frere. You got a number one overall pick with a chance to take Cam Ward as your franchise quarterback. Things are looking up for the Titans. We'll see if that's the way that things end up playing out there. I think the point the whole time, and we got a lot of text on the text line today about the Dan Moore signing at left tackle and how it's a huge deal because it upgrades right tackle with J.C. Latham over Nicholas Petit-Frere. And I agree with that. Like, I think J.C. Latham should be a huge upgrade at right tackle. The problem is, like, what about left tackle? Is Dan Moore Jr. a huge upgrade from J.C. Latham at left tackle? If he's not, is he an upgrade at all from J.C. Latham at left tackle? You've thrown out some of the numbers that would suggest to you that he's not. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't be moving forward, but if he's a problem at left tackle, then you're kind of right back in the same spot, are you not? Like, they need him to be – they need last year's improvement that the numbers suggest that he had in Pittsburgh to be the beginning of an upward trend for him on the left side of things. And I have to think, Joe, that there's at least some belief that that's what they're going to see. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gone out and paid him the way that they did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look, I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, it's good sometimes to acknowledge your limitations. So I'm going with these numbers that do not speak well of his entire career. Again, most sacks, that's not some PFF made up stat. That's most, if you hate PFF, again, I hate the grades. I think pressures and, you know, targeting and things like, you know, in terms of like targeting passes, there's a lot of things that they can do and count up that are fine. Grades are stupid. It's sacks. Most sacks since he entered the NFL in 21. Most pressures. I put stock in that too. 181 since he entered the NFL. In the league, the most. Pressure rate allowed, 7.6%. You know, again, is there some subjectivity in that? Sure. But you're talking about, generally, you follow those numbers, and they match up with what you're seeing from a offensive lineman in the NFL. That's 242nd out of 275. His pass block win rate last year was good. He obviously improved to some extent last year. Like you said, Robbie, I mean, it comes down to, like, they have to believe. And the limitations are, we're going with these numbers. The Titans have watched a ton of film,
yep,
right? So they decided it was worth the investment. But, yeah, the skepticism also arises from the film they watched that convinced them that J.C. Latham was their guy at 7, and then they were convinced that he was their left tackle, and now they've already changed that. So are the Titans going to be better with this move? I would say yes, because Latham, I would expect to definitely be an upgrade over Nicholas Petit-Frere, right tackle.
God, I hope
right?
so. If not, they're in some serious trouble.
But if Dan Moore Jr. is not significantly better than Latham at left tackle, then it's still, like, you're still in a pretty rough situation up front. And we still don't know, by the way, like, they're not done. So I think that they're going to make more signings. But even we talked about this earlier, but it's like the whole, you know, Skoronski, how much progress, how much what's there, how good can he be? And the Skoronski Latham thing was supposed to be a, you know, the your foundation there on the left side, and that's apparently, again, reportedly going to be broken up. Now, maybe the next time you know, these guys talk, which I guess probably – no, they'll probably have a presser before the draft. You know, maybe Brian Callahan says, well, we haven't decided that for sure. But Kaharski, at least Kaharski, I know, has reported that the plan is to move Latham to the right side. So I'm skeptical. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, but you know, they have watched the film, and there are new eyes on this stuff too, by the way. Brinker, yes. Yep. But there are new eyes, Bergonzi and the other guys too, who are in the front office now.
Well, and then who's playing right guard? How long is Lloyd Cushenberry going to be out at center? Like, how much does that impact what you do in the draft coming up? I mean, there's a lot still to work through on the offensive line here. I'm just the Dan Moore. I've said the money doesn't bother me, and it really doesn't. Like, you're going to overpay for people in free agency.
Yeah, especially day one.
And you're going to overpay for people at offensive tackle in free agency. It's just the way it is. So I don't really care about the contract that he was given. He's getting paid a lot of money. He's got $50 million that's guaranteed. Is he that type of player? Is he a $20 million per year left tackle? Probably not, but I don't really care about that. If he gives you solid starting level left tackle play, I'm not asking for him to be an all pro because I don't think he can be that, but can he give you solid starting level left tackle play? If he can do that, and Latham is great at right tackle, which is what he needs to be after drafting him at 7th overall, then I can live with that.
Yep. Yeah. So if that happens, I'm with you. I've been having a good back and forth with Ed on the text line about, you know, he pointed out, like, well, you got to be consistent. You say that that you like Darnold, but the Vikings let him walk, whereas now you're saying the Steelers letting Moore walk is a bad comment on him. Yeah, again, it's not apples to apples, but, I mean, I think that's a fair thing to bring up. Yes, as others have pointed out, Troy Fautanu was a first-round pick. He was hurt last year, so that's the plan. I still say that if Moore were good, you have room for both of them. I mean, look, in this league, you need to feel good about three tackles. You really do. Now, a lot of teams don't, but they certainly have two. I mean, you're talking about, again, an unproven rookie who may work out well, but like the Eagles comparison is what I made in terms of, you know, the Eagles, Andre Dillard was number 11 overall? He was a first-round pick out of Washington State. And they end up having, I think, a UDFA, whose name is eluding me, who ended up just taking his job because he was just better, you know? And again, then they let Dillard walk, and we know what happens. We know what happened from there. Very rare that a truly good player at that position is allowed to get to where Moore got. And so that is part of my skepticism.
Yeah, I think also looking at the Latham part of this, independent of Dan Moore Jr., is it not at least a little bit concerning that they drafted him to be the franchise tackle less than a calendar year ago and have already decided that they need to move him to right? Like, I understand that there's the thought process out there, well, you need to solidify both tackle spots regardless of how you do it, and there wasn't maybe a great option that they loved at right tackle, so they brought in a left tackle. Okay, but if you thought J.C. Latham was your foundational left tackle, isn't it more important to keep him there and make sure that he's great there and then find right tackle later? Like, to me, this tells me that after watching him for a year, they don't think he's going to be a very good left tackle. And that's concerning to me that was what your evaluation was a year ago, and less than a year in, you've already backed off of that.
Yeah, like if Bill Callahan was new now, it's like, well, there you go. The offensive line guru has spoken, and he says no. But, no, this was his advisement. This also does – I mean, it does bring up right now the question of you know, it'd be an interesting thing to get in with PK tomorrow, the question of coach involvement in these decisions. Now, I sure as heck hope that you're still tapping Bill Callahan for these decisions, but if you're just handing this to Bill Callahan and saying, yeah, you deal with it, I don't know if I'm him. I mean, I know you're working with your son, but, boy, I would not be thrilled with that.
No. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and NFL free agency. We'll get into a trade in the AFC South. That's a big one a little bit later in the program as well. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Let's not cry about signings before they even get on the field. It's completely unproductive. That's a good point. The Titans have signed Mac Jones to be their quarterback. I have no comment. I will comment after the first game. I have no opinion on this. What else should we do with the show?
Yeah.
What else can we do?
I mean,
I'll say this.
Those guys all down the town.
You get
the
three of those guys, I'd be taking the Titans into preseason games. You're going pretty deep in the well on the quarterback front in the preseason.
That's a great point. We'd be dusting people in August.
That's right.
I'll have some jalapeno poppers. What do you think, huh? Make sure the jelly doesn't look like tomato sauce, please.
There you go.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'd like to start with this tweet from, who we got here? Spotrac. For the cap is fake crowd. The Saints had to guarantee and convert $40 million of Derek Carr's salary this year. A quarterback they no longer want. That's a weird comment. In order to become cap compliant this week. It's fluid. It can be manipulated, but the bill does always come due. Thank you, Spotrac. I've sent that to Jared. Yeah, Jared sent us something about, you know, Bill Simmons. Like, gosh, it's like I don't get how these teams keep paying $50 million a year at quarterback. Yeah, it's a soft cap. Teams are going to pay the top players. They're going to make tough decisions on mid-level players because the cap is real and you must be cap compliant. Thank you. This is not what the point of this, but I got the tweet, so I just wanted to throw it out there. So I want to talk quickly today. So I've kind of become a gym guy. Okay.
Gym rat.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But on Valentine's Day, Katie and I went out to dinner, one of our favorite places. But this place has like mirrors in the bathroom. And so like I walked into the bathroom and I got kind of like
most places not have mirrors in the bathroom.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. No, but this is like a big mirror. Okay. So it's like the whole wall mirror.
Okay.
So like, yeah, not like where you're at the sink washing your hands mirror. It's like a mirror of the whole wall. So I walked in and looked to my left and my belly was so big. I was like, dude, I'm going to die soon. And then I came back out. Hello, darling. Aren't you so happy to be married to me? but I looked at myself. I'm like, yeah, this is bad. So this is like my fourth week. I've got like a workout fiend at home who has been helping me. But so I've been hitting the gym a lot, you know, and it's like old man stuff, you know. Some of the stuff I'm lifting in there, you know, you're in a room, well, also with mirrors all over the place. With some of these, like, you know, 25-year-old dudes just like they're benching, you know, 250 or whatever, and it's just like, my God. And I'm over here with my little old man, little bar, like, you know, seven reps of like 40 pounds.
A lot of grunting that goes on in places like that.
There is, yeah. Now, luckily, I got my workout mixed with a lot of like Metallica on there and stuff, you know, so I mostly don't listen. But really, this is more of a question. I guess this is like an etiquette thing, kind of like when I wondered aloud what's wrong with really a loose pocket mint. Nah, I still don't see the problem with it. So the wiping of the machines.
Yeah.
I realize, you know, it's absolutely important, and I'm doing it. But also, like, I feel like I've wasted reams and reams of paper.
Yeah.
Because I wipe it every time. And, like, if you go to the gym – and I like to wear like a sweatshirt, maybe because I'm just not ready to, like, you know, show this body off yet.
But getting there.
I wear a sweatshirt and sweatpants a lot of times and stuff. So like the first time, you know, you sit at a machine, I mean, there's no sweat.
Yeah.
There's, and yet I feel this pressure to always wipe. So what I'm asking is, like, really, what is the, of course, if there's remotely any sweat, and I think wiping the hand, you know, anything that you put your hand on is fine, but like the seat, you know, like if there's no sweat at all, does it really matter if you wipe it?
I'm with you. Like if I'm beginning a workout and there's no sweat. And I'm with you. Like, I'm typically working out because the gym I go to has got it at, like, negative 5 degrees in there all the time with all these fans blowing. I'm generally in a hoodie and, like, sweatpants. So if there's no chance of sweat, I'm very rarely wiping the seat. I'm with you on the hand stuff. Like, you never know where people's hands have been. So probably, generally speaking, a good idea to wipe those things down. But if I'm not sweating, like, you're just sitting there wasting a lot of time as well, just wiping down this entire bench. Now, when you get deep into the workout and there's some sweat that's starting to accumulate, then I think you're forced to at that time.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. that's totally fine. I think it's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of just situational awareness.
Yeah.
And maybe we could save a little bit of paper. Benjamin says, real ones don't wipe. Yeah, don't be that guy, Benjamin. Don't be the total non-wiper. And I mean, and we're talking about gym equipment, by the way.
Dylan
in case
Raiden's
someone
on the show?
Just turned over. What's that?
Dylan Raiden's on the show. He's talked about that sort of stuff before, too.
Real ones don't wipe with their dominant hand, is what he's saying.
Yes.
Challenge yourself with your weaker hand. Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, Chris Jenkins says, not wet, you're good to go. Jake says, at least one wipe a machine and re-racking weights equals non-negotiables, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, look.
All right, so machine, but we're not talking seat. Is the seat included in the entire machine?
Yeah, right. Like I definitely think that, you know, wiping where your hands were is fine. I mean, I get that. I do. Without sweat, I don't know, man. I don't know that I'm with you on that one, Jake. But
so what you're saying is, like, just be if you're working out behind Rex Road and you're, like, following the machines that he's using, just be cognizant of where you're sitting. Just make sure you're aware of what could be on the seat.
Don't leave a puddle.
Yeah, of course. Of course not. Ron says, do you really want to sit on somebody else's wet or dry butt juice? Use a towel, not paper towels.
I don't.
Okay. What is dry butt juice? How is that a thing? What? Tell me what that would
solidified. Be. Solidified. I don't know.
What are we talking about here? Yeah, I mean.
that was definitely going to be a drop.
Oh, my God.
There's no doubt about that.
That makes no sense, Ron. I'm sorry, man.
Well, that one won't go away for a while.
Wonderful.
This has been a very productive
That's Ron's
rant.
Fault. Thanks a lot, Ron.
A very productive
Created another
rant.
Drop for me.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on Rex Rhodes' gym etiquette, or maybe lack thereof, according to some of you. We'll also get back into the latest on NFL free agency coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.